The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our Tuesday edition of The Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And coming up on the show today, we've got a little insight on these Kentucky basketball players from T.J. Beisner from CoachCal.com. He does a lot of behind-the-scenes work with them. They get the new podcast with Riley Welch that is up and going. So lots to talk about with T.J. off the blue-white game. First exhibition game coming up on Sunday against Georgetown. Larry Vaught will join us, and Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws. So that's our lineup as we get to our Wildcat News of the Day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. And it's a banged-up Kentucky football team, as Mark Stoops talked yesterday to the media and then on the coach's show. He mentioned that Jordan Wright and Josh Pascal both were beat up in the Georgia game, and that they may take a look at some reps for J.J. Weaver and Jared Casey, a couple of guys at the outside linebacker positions that played high school ball in Louisville last season, highly touted recruits. They can play them up to four games without giving up a red shirt. Coach Stoops mentioned he thought Pascal would be good to go. Didn't sound as sure about Jordan Wright or Cash Daniel, who got to use the coach's phrase, dinged up in the Georgia game. Kavassier Smoke has an issue with his shoulder, and he will be it's kind of a pain tolerance thing for him. How bad is it hurting? So you could, if Kavassier can't go, you could see a little bit of Travis Tisdale. He has, remember at the open date, they talked about how well he had started to come on, so it might be a shot to get him a few reps. Stoops didn't have a lot to say about the quarterback situation. It is what it is kind of the phrase they're using to describe the situation. We'll wait and see Saturday night, I guess, as to what way Kentucky goes. I think there's been a lot of thought for a while now that maybe the Missouri game would be the time for Sawyer to get back, that you give him a couple of weeks to heal up as much as possible. Because it was a variety of injuries, and that would be about a month to heal up. So we'll see if he's good to go. I've kind of thought from the beginning that there would be a declining efficiency for Lynn at quarterback as teams got more and more of a book on him. It could have been some of that certainly with Georgia. The weather was an X factor, though, that makes it hard to completely determine how much of it was Georgia having a way to shut him down or the elements playing a part in that too. Same thing with the passing. Obviously, it was very poor against Georgia, but I thought it was certainly adequate in the Arkansas game. And if you could build on what you did against Arkansas, that could be feasible. You've got to be able, though, to do more than you did against Georgia. So it's going to be interesting to see which way Kentucky goes this week when Missouri rolls in. And Stoops also mentioned Xavier Peters. It's been a disciplinary issue for him of late. Remember, he got on the field late against South Carolina, and there was the open date, and we haven't seen him the last 2 weeks. Turns out he didn't even travel to Georgia, and it's an issue, according to Stoops, of just being on time for things. So doesn't sound like it's anything major, but they're trying to set the right tone from the beginning to make sure that he's handling all the things that would say the coaches would say, the little things that are just personal habits, discipline, self-discipline, etc. So we'll see how that goes with Xavier. Basketball, the Associated Press preseason top five is out. Michigan State, Kentucky 1-2, and they'll meet in the Champions Classic next month. Kansas, Duke, Louisville round out the top five. Then Florida, Maryland, Gonzaga, Carolina, North Carolina, and Villanova. Cal was in Florida to visit with Cade Cunningham after Cunningham did his last official visit to Washington. We'll talk about that with Chris Fisher when he joins us. Kentucky, University of Kentucky has announced an esports partnership with Gen.G, national company. So they're going to step up their role with their students and esports. And from the NBA, Kings have waived Tyler Ulis, but they have signed a deal with Wenyen Gabriel, makes him a full member of the Kings and no longer a two-way contract as he was on last season. And our Tito's Vodka race of the week was the Lexus Raven Run, and we gave you a winner. Paid about $28 too. Bell's the one in the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run last weekend out at Keeneland. Real impressive win for her. Really was rolling coming down the stretch. Links to the stories that we talk about, you can find them on the Bud Light Leach Report page. That's at TomLeachKY.com. We'll come back and chat with Larry Vaught on the Leach Report Radio.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Tuesday edition of our show, and we head back to the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline to bring on Larry Vaught from VaughtsViews.com. That Larry is headed to UK Women's Basketball Media Day to hear from Coach Mitchell and the players, and I don't know, maybe get a preview of the set list, the songs for Coach Mitchell's pregame concert Saturday.
I think that's the main priority, Tom, just to kind of find out what he's going to wear and what he's going to sing. And I think this will be a fabulous way to start out the UK-Missouri, follow the catwalk with listening to Matthew Mitchell. And he's quite the performer. I mean, as you can see from Big Blue Madness, he enjoys being out there. But if you've never had a chance to hear him sing and watch him on stage, it'll be well worth your time to come watch.
He is quite at home on the stage, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, he is. A few years ago, he actually came down to Perryville when Eddie Montgomery had a recording studio there on his farm, and he came down, and I got to kind of tag along with it and watch him and Eddie do a little singing and talking and carrying on. It was really a lot of fun.
We'll start with a little football. Larry, what's your take on Kentucky's chances Saturday against Missouri?
I think their chances are okay, not nearly as good as I thought they'd be when the season started, because I thought you'd have Terry Wilson. But I think it's just kind of hard to know, Tom. There's so much uncertainty at quarterback still. Do you get Sawyer Smith back, and that changes back what you do? Do you still have to just go with Lynn and hope you can get what you can get and do what you can? How does Missouri bounce back from a loss at Vanderbilt that I don't think anyone was expecting? Can the Kentucky defense continue to make strides like what it has and hold the team in the game, which we thought, or I thought at the start of the season, be the offense carrying the defense. Now you're kind of depending on the defense to carry the offense, so much has changed. But I think they got a good chance that they're going to really have to play well, because I think Missouri will bounce back, because this is a win that Missouri really, really needs. Plus, they've lost to Kentucky, what, 5 years in a row now? I can't imagine they won't let that streak extend anymore.
There's a lot of interesting just angles maybe to this game, because I was talking about this yesterday. Missouri's waiting to hear word on their appeal of their probation. If they would get word this week, which it could apparently, from what I read, could happen any day. They could get the news. You know, if they get the news that they win their appeal and they're all of a sudden eligible for a bowl game, then they bounce back easily. You know, if they get the news that they lose their appeal, you know, who knows? It could affect them the other way. And then with Kentucky, I think it was Mark Story, first place I saw, put out the stat that Kentucky's lost the last five or six games when they've on the heels of playing Georgia. And I think there could be some significance to that stat simply because of how physical that game usually is. And so it's, you know, it takes a physical toll on you. Now, I think Kentucky getting that open date a few weeks ago, they bounced back and, you know, had a, I think I talked about it that week, a great spirit at their practice against Arkansas. So it really seemed to recharge their batteries. And I don't think there was anything that they should be, you know, overly down about their performance against Georgia. They hung in really well. It's just a matter, you know, sometimes if your body gets beat up, you know, the spirit can be willing more so than the body.
Absolutely. And obviously they got some guys dinged up, as Mark likes mm-hmm. to say, in that game, and they're kind of beat up. But again, you just have to kind of find a way to make this work. And I was one that before the season, when people were talking about the key games, and myself, I thought the key games to the season for Kentucky would be Missouri, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. My reasoning was simple. This, if you got off to a good start, win those three games, you could have a great season. Not get off to quite as good a start as you wanted. You have to win those three to make sure you have a winning season and get back to a decent bowl game. Unfortunately, with the injury to Terry, that's kind of the scenario that has put Kentucky in right now. But this is a big, big game for Kentucky. I mean, you win this one and then you get back, I think you've got a real shot at going 8-4. You lose this one, you're sitting there 3-5. Then I think it's easy for a lot of doubts to creep into your mind about what might happen. So this is a big, big game for Kentucky, and I just hope that they can get whatever they need to get done at quarterback. I mean, Lynn's been fantastic there, but there's only so much you can ask from him. It would sure be nice, I think, to see Sawyer Smith well enough to play and let Lynn get back to where he can make the plays on the outside like what he does and make the defenses at least have to spread back out and cover a little bit bigger portion of the field than what they have to do with Lynn. And but if not, you just have to find a way to get the job done like what they did against Arkansas.
You know, I wonder if what they could ultimately end up doing is, I think when you have situations that where you face adversity, you try to find a way to take that negative and find some way to find some positive angle to it that it can help you. So you're in a situation here where you've lost your starter. You've lost the guy who was really your third stringer. Your backup is been beat up. And now hadn't played in about a month, and then your fourth option is a converted wide receiver. So rather than necessarily having to pick one, maybe you, because they are so different, you could this could be one of those situations. I'm normally not a fan of this, where maybe two could work. Maybe you're playing them both, and if whoever you start, if you ride him as long as he's doing well, hits a little slow spot, you know, change up, give the defense a completely different thing to think about and, you know, ride that as long as he can stay hot with it and then go back and forth. It's not the greatest situation, but it could be a way to maybe turn a situation that's difficult for you into making it somewhat difficult for the opponent.
I would agree. And I certainly think Lynn's a guy that if you have to make switches like that, he'll be fine with that. He just wants to get out there and play. And I think one thing has become real clear to me over the past few weeks, that this team on both sides of the ball certainly believes in Lynn when he's out there. Because, I mean, I think the effort has been pretty extraordinary with him at quarterback from everybody. And that's a big boost, too. And, again, maybe you have to factor that in, that this team just seems to have kind of rallied around Lynn. And if you have to keep him there, you just keep him there. And Eddie Grant, I think, had another week to kind of figure maybe what can work and what can't work with Lynn. I think last week in the rain, it's hard to know maybe what they had planned or didn't have planned if the weather had been different. But I think this week, maybe you'll see a few more wrinkles from Eddie. It's not like Lynn can't throw the ball at all. So I think they'll put some things in and he'll be able to throw the ball. If you have to go with him the whole game, hopefully your defense just plays the way it did against Georgia and you can hang in there. And if you have to win a game 20-14 or 17-10 or whatever, you just find a way to win because all that matters is winning.
It really is amazing, I think, what Lynn's doing. Probably not getting enough credit for it in that, you know, you have to know the wide receiver position. If you're going to be, let's say they end up playing both quarterbacks or they go with Sawyer, you have to know the wide receiver position, but then you have to know the quarterback position and the playbook and, you know, getting, you know, people in the right spots and, you know, getting, you know, all the different motions and sets and things that they do that the quarterback has to be able to take command of. And he's a bright guy to manage all that.
Yes, he is. I tell you what, Tom, he's also a tougher guy than what I realized. I mean, I knew he's a fairly physical receiver, but the pounding he's taken the last two games there, quarterback, and just jumps up and comes right back for more. And the third down play he made last week, they got wiped out by the penalty before he basically just ran over a defender to get the first down. I'm going to first say he's tougher than what I thought he was.
Yeah, and that kind of cycles back to what you were saying about, you know, guys will elevate their level of play around a guy like that that's doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, they sure will, Tom. It's been fun to watch. I mean, it's been a different type of fun, but, I mean, to watch him go out there, and it's obviously he's having fun, and let's hope they can find a way to get a win, and if it needs to be him at quarterback the whole time, I'm sure Lynn's fine with that. He'll go do what it takes to try to get that win.
All right. Get the scoop from Coach Mitchell. We'll talk to you next, a couple weeks, Larry. Thank you.
Yeah, all right, Tom. Thank you.
That's Larry Vaught. He's going to be on vacation next week, so he'll join us back again in 2 weeks here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. TJ Beiser from CoachCal.com coming up next. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Next up on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline, TJ Beiser from CoachCal.com. So we got a look at Kentucky and some game action in the blue-white game. And that's outside competition on Sunday. I would imagine, TJ, these guys are a little hungry to get into what would be more of a real game mode, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the coaches are as well. You know, after the blue-white game was much better than what we saw at Madness in that short scrimmage time. But they're hungry, the coaches are, to see what these guys can do when there's a competitive environment, you know. So I think the players are always excited to get out there, and they certainly the new guys especially want to get out there inside a game environment, a Rupp Arena, and get the feeling. But I've gotten the impression from the overall feeling of the team the last few days that the staff can't wait to have someone else as a little bit of competition and then have some talking points and to back up what they've already been telling him. That's what they expect.
Let's start with, as we talk about some players, Nate Sestina, who transfers in from Bucknell as a grad transfer to a place with the tradition that Kentucky has. And so it's an exciting opportunity for him. And he acknowledged that in some interviews I've seen that, you know, he had, you know, maybe there was a little – maybe a little overwhelmed, or just, you know, was he going to really be able to compete at this level? And now he's gotten here. He's gotten himself in the best shape of his life. And he seems, from some of the highlights I saw with Madness and other things I've heard him say, just his confidence seems to be soaring at the moment.
Absolutely. And you know, I think a lot of those concerns were fair because you haven't seen a guy come from a program like Bucknell that has a lot of tradition, is really good, but isn't at the scope of Kentucky in terms of the attention, the pressure, the competitiveness of the talent and practice. And Nate has embraced every single step of this challenge. And, you know, just his weight loss, you look at that, the coaches said, hey, if you want to be the player you want to be, we can help you get there, but you got to commit to changing your body. And the transformation he made in, I mean, what was that, like 40 days? And he was down 25 pounds and he changed his diet completely. We used to joke with him. We'd see him in the corner of the gym at camp, and he had carrots and hummus. And he's just sitting there. I was like, is that all you do is eat hummus? And he's like, I'm on a diet. I'm on a diet. And it worked. And what I love about Nate, and I think fans have gotten to see a glimpse of this, is he loves being a Kentucky basketball player.
I get that same sense.
When you're a fan, I think, you know, you hope, you have so much passion for this program, and you hope the guys that wear that uniform share that same passion, and everybody displays it differently. Nate is loving every second of being a Kentucky basketball player. He's taking nothing for granted.
Got to jump in there, get to a quick bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back with TJ Beiser.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
The Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, and we're chatting with TJ Beiser from CoachCal.com. One of the things you'll find if you head over to the site is Cal's preseason interview with Rex Chapman. Any fun stories or anecdotes coming out of that chat?
Well, yeah, Cal talked about, because Rex told a story about when he was growing up on the playground and, you know, he'd be in the backyard trying to pretend to be different players, and so Cal said that anytime, just like the rest of us, anytime he missed a shot at the buzzer, he got fouled and went back and did it again. But it led to a point we put a little bit of on Twitter. A great you know, why Cal loves basketball. And he talked about you can just sit down yourself, a ball in a hoop, and you can get better. And you can learn a lot about yourself, the passion you have, how hard you want to work. And then it becomes part of a team. And everything in society is about being part of a team and functioning as a group and helping other people out. And that's why he fell in love with basketball. And he used Brad and Aaron, his daughter, as examples of people who've used basketball to further their dreams and goals. And he said at some point when Brad's done playing basketball, he's going to make it in life because of what he's learned from playing the game. And Aaron played at UMass, and now she's taken that into science and medicine. And so that was my favorite part. You know, we talked a lot about the team, but really getting a glimpse into Cal and seeing, you know, what, because he's like the rest of us. He loves basketball. He's just has sort of a different role in it than the rest of us do. And so I really enjoyed just sitting there listening to him talk to Rex.
Back to this group of guys, of the freshman group that fans are going to get to see against outside competition Sunday when Kentucky will host Georgetown College. Anything that as the season starts to unfold that somebody will do that's maybe not been talked about much or will be better than expected from the freshman group?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll all be better by the end of the year, but Keon Brooks is sort of, I think, flying under the radar a bit. You know, even coming out of Blue White, I didn't see a lot of people talking about him and his performance because he does a lot of stuff pretty well, and he does it quietly. And he is a guy that even in high school, you hear the coaches talk about, was able to go and do whatever his team needed, play any position on the floor, defend any position on the floor, because he wanted to win, and he has the skill set that allows him to do it. Now, he has things that, like every other guy, a progress track where they're trying to improve in certain areas, but I think he's going to fit well because of his versatility and his willingness to do anything the team needs. And I know Cal was really happy with Keon coming out of the Blue-White game, but I didn't see a lot of media or social media talking about him specifically. But I think he's a guy who's going to get a lot better over the course of the year, and there are going to be several games where it might not be when the game's over, but maybe a day or two later when you're thinking about the game, you think to yourself, wow, I mean, Keon was really important. He did some really important little things in those games that helped us win. And, you know, you need at least one, if not five or six of those guys on a roster to be a really great team. And so that's what's encouraging about him.
Just reading his bio here as you were talking about him, and there's several things I like off this that kind of can lead into one of those guys that, ends up being gets underappreciated until you've, had him on your team for a while. Honor roll student. Dad was a college basketball player at Wright State.
Yes.
And he played, Keon in high school, played football, played baseball, played soccer. Or not in high school, but as a kid. I like guys who play multiple sports, especially the guys that have a little bit of a football background for their toughness.
Yeah, and it's a newcomers group that it's full of big personalities. You know, Tyrese and Khalil and Johnny Juzang all have pretty big personalities. Nate as well. Riley Welch even has a podcast now. So Keon,
yes,
is kind of the, he's a guy that's kind of quiet to a certain degree, not out there promoting himself a lot and jumping in front of the camera, but he gets along great with his teammates. I don't think he's shy by any means, but he has all those right characteristics to be a great team player and really improve as an individual. And that's, that's the recipe at Kentucky. That's what Cal's looking for.
Quickly was a guy that put up some good numbers in the Blue-White game. And we were talking about Sestina earlier and just how high his confidence level is. You're around these guys a lot, but I certainly get the same sense from Emmanuel Quickly right now that he just is a night and day difference from the guy last year that they were just trying to constantly build his confidence. It's like now that's not an issue at all.
No, not at all. And the word that Cal used after the Blue-White scrimmage was anxiety. And I don't know if that was intentional, but he said he just seems like he has less anxiety out there, which is a great way of putting it. You know, Emmanuel last year at times looked like he was just uncomfortable, and he was, I don't know if it was afraid to make a mistake or uncertain about, I remember we got to the NCAA tournament. You'll remember, Tom, in practice when Cal is screaming at him, shoot the ball.
Yes.
You know, it's, He's like, that's the shot we want you taking in the game. And we'd be at shoot around in practice during SEC and NCAA tournament, and they'd be, you know, running some sets, and Emmanuel would pass it, and he's like, shoot the ball. And so there's no hesitation anymore, at least not as much as there was. And it's just getting comfortable. And this year's team's going to be a little different, of course, and so he's going to transform his role, maybe a little different than what it was last year. But his confidence in himself grew, as you would expect, but his comfortability with, which is what everybody else and who he is and how he can make guys better, that's so important for a guard. And he has taken a huge step this summer. And he's another guy that, you know, when you come to Kentucky, they tell you it's going to be hard. And the guys who are great really embrace that and then talk about how hard it was and they loved it. Emmanuel embraced that this summer. He's really worked really hard physically in terms of improving his body, his conditioning, but also just getting comfortable in the gym. And I'm really excited to see what he can do on the court this year.
What about EJ? What are some things you've picked up on regarding him? Because it looks like he has seriously worked in the weight room. He looks stronger, thicker.
Yeah, and EJ, you know, a lot of the same things we were just talking about with Emmanuel, I think, apply to EJ. He's just more comfortable in the setting now. And I felt at times last year he was still feeling it out. You know, he's a guy that kind of is a little quiet. I think he's a really smart kid and just observes before he acts, which is a great trait to have in life. And sometimes in basketball you want to reverse that and just, you know, fly around and good things will eventually happen to you. And I think he's worked on his skill development, certainly his body. Yesterday we had practice, and there was a drill where you basically just run block to block, and two managers are just beating you with pads, and you have to square up, catch the ball, pass it out to Kenny, run to the other side, and they're beating you up, and you have to do it 10 times. It took EJ 10 times to do it. I mean, his base has gotten so much stronger. He's getting wide when he's posting up. And it was night and day difference from where he was in that same drill last year, where feet were a little closer together, kind of easy to tip over. He was a guy that liked to use his length and, you know, finish around the rim with, you know, maybe a little finesse and just get up because he was so skilled. And now his body is stronger. He's getting more comfortable using his body, which is a big growing point for him. And he can add a lot to this team, especially on the defensive end, by being a guy that can protect the paint and be strong on the block. And, you know, especially if it's a little thin in the front court, you're going to need him to do that. And so seeing his personality grow and just seeing his development has been really encouraging this summer. And it was like all these guys really excited to see what they do once they get on the court with somebody else.
How do you think EJ will score if he has, you know, let's say as a 15, 17 yeah. point game, what's it going to look like?
You know, I think if, the good thing is that he can score in a lot of different ways. You know, he's skilled enough to score in a lot of different ways. I think if Cal was designing it, it would be lobs, putbacks, and maybe an occasional jumper. You know, EJ can knock down a baseline jumper. He can step out. He's hit a couple of threes in practice. I don't know if that's the shot they want him putting up all the time. But, you know, I think because this team is able to – they're so athletic, they can shoot the ball, they can get to the rim. They're going to spread it out, and what that should do for EJ is allow him to get in that little, the dunking corner, the little short corner to catch, step in and catch lobs, catch driving dishes, and really finish around the rim, either with dunks or putbacks or layups. And I think that's the plan, the design. But I think EJ, the advantages he offers you, that skill set that he can step out and knock down a shot if something breaks down, if it's a pick and pop. You want him to pick and roll most of the time, but a pick and pop, you feel comfortable getting him a look every once in a while because he's shown the ability to hit that shot.
CoachCal.com's TJ Beisner. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
He joins us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline, about 16 away from the top of the hour. Chris Fisher from the Catspaws coming up next on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Chris Fisher joins us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline from CatsPaws.com. Chris, we'll start with a little recruiting since Cal went south to see Cade Cunningham after Cunningham had taken his last official visit to the University of Washington. And I think I see in your story at Cat's Paws that this is like the fourth time in the last 6 weeks that Cal has broken bread with Cade Cunningham, so to speak.
Yeah, I think things are building to a crescendo, it feels like, with Cade Cunningham's recruitment. Like you said, he just finished up his last official visit to Washington over the weekend, and who else to greet him back in Central Florida but John Calipari? And I think that that says a lot about Kentucky's chances. We've heard the hat on a table line repeatedly in the last several weeks, and I just don't think that with that new approach and that approach paying dividends, that John Calipari would waste that much time recruiting Cade Cunningham if he were already, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered to Oklahoma State. So that makes me feel encouraged about Kentucky's chances. I think they have really been surging down the stretch and may have caught and even surpassed Oklahoma State here in the last couple of weeks.
There was a time when there was a feeling that North Carolina was going to be a major player, and then I see they got a commitment from a guard yesterday. A couple of things I read that suggested that meant that they were really out of the Cade Cunningham derby. Is that the way you took it?
I'm not sure if taking another guard has anything to do with Cade Cunningham, but it does seem like, for whatever reason, that North Carolina is kind of on the outs right now, and it's going to come down to Kentucky and Oklahoma State in the end. There's some talk that he could announce sooner rather than later. I heard that a potential commitment over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend could also be in the cards, but either way, it looks like we're getting down to the end of this thing, and Kentucky's right there, which I think is really all you can ask for as a fan, considering his older brother is an assistant coach at Oklahoma State.
It certainly seems to be fans are really, you talked about the recruitment building to a crescendo. I feel like the same way with the fans. They're going to be really disappointed if Kentucky doesn't close the deal on Cunningham.
Yeah, I think I would definitely agree with that. I'm not sure. I can't remember any recruitment here in the last couple. I mean, even Zion and R.J. Barrett and those guys, this is as excited as Kentucky fans have been about a recruitment for some time. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the way this 2020 class is coming together with Terrence Clark and B.J. Boston in the backcourt. And you have Cade Cunningham to that mix, and all of a sudden I think you have a legitimate national championship contended just from that core alone. And I talked to Terrence Clark after his official visit to Big Blue Madness, and he said that, you know, that team would have a chance to be as good or if not better than any Kentucky team that's come through Lexington. So that's definitely high praise.
NBA season is getting started tonight. You have a story up at the site about Wenyen Gabriel and some great news that he got. He's no longer on one of those two-way deals with the Kings. He is a full-fledged member of the team heading into the new season.
Yeah, just another example of what John Calipari says all the time about every guy being on their own path. You don't have to be a one-and-done or a two-and-done. And, certain guys have made NBA draft decisions that fans haven't been happy with, and Wenyen Gabriel was one of those, but he's found his way. And like you said, he's been elevated to the opening night roster. That makes 29 former Kentucky players on opening night rosters, the most of any school, but really cut his teeth and paid his dues in the G League last season, played pretty well for the Kings in the summer league, and now with Harry Giles being out, has a chance to really establish himself on that roster going forward.
We'll see the latest Kentucky team in action against outside competition on Sunday afternoon when they host Georgetown College. What guy are you most interested to watch in this first venture into outside competition?
I would probably go with Nate Sestina or Keon Brooks. I think both of those guys played really, really well in the blue-white game. And I think a lot of people were surprised with the play of Nate Sestina. I'm not sure. I think fans knew he would contribute in some way. I mean, that's the express reason you bring in a grad transfer, is to contribute right away. But I think he can bring a lot more to the table for this team than a lot of people realize, even outside of shooting the ball, which he obviously can. But I'll be interested to see if he can kind of break into the starting lineup. You have Khalil Whitney, you have Keon Brooks kind of at that position as well, Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery in the front court. And how does Nate Sestina fit into all of that? Obviously, him being a senior, and John Calipari has talked about his communicative skills on defense and what value that brings to the table. But interested to see not just him having an impact, but how big of an impact he can have on this team going forward.
Certainly shot it well in the blue-white game.
And I think that's, again, that's kind of become the great equalizer in basketball across all levels, is the ability to shoot the ball. And that's John Calipari's compared him to Derek Willis. His ability to shoot the ball and make shots is something that is going to get him on the court and keep him on the court.
Chris Fisher, catspaws.com, at Chris Fisher 24/7. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Chris normally is with us on Wednesdays, but we switched up things. So he joining us on Tuesday today on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. We'll be right back to wrap up this edition of the show. Guests here on the show come to you via the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. It's a Kentucky-based business, and if you've taking the plunge on things like CBD oil for maybe some sore muscles. It helps with inflammation. My wife says it helps her sleep better. You can get CBD oil that is Kentucky grown, Kentucky made, and Kentucky proud from Kentucky Hemp Works. They're based out in Christian County. A lot of great Wildcats have come out of that part of the state, and they grow the hemp there. They process it there and then turn it into things like CBD oil or soap, or Kentucky hemp seed oil from Kentucky Hemp Works that they use in those Kentucky dogs at Kroger Field. So go to KentuckyHempWorks.com. You can see their story and learn a little bit more. Donato Slice of Wildcat history this day in 77. Kentucky whipped up on the Georgia Bulldogs 33-0 down between the hedges. Prince Charles was doing a visit to the University of Georgia and was at the football game. And I think was out for the pregame coin toss with Art Still and others. So that was this day in 1977. Of Kentucky volleyball's Madison Lilly named SEC Player of the Week. Teammate Gabby Curry named Co-Defensive Player of the Week. We'll see you tomorrow with Kyle Tucker and John Hale on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report Radio Network. Miss the show? Catch the podcast at TomLeachKY.com or on the iHeartRadio app.